Epic Church Online. Let's eat.
Well, we're going to begin this morning. We're going to begin a new sermon series, and it's not really a sermon series. You're here on a special morning. Not only do we dedicate Violet, we're also going to change things up for the next few weeks. So it may not feel like one of our familiar services, at least I hope, because I want to keep you guessing. That's kind of a fundamental rule. But we're going to do things a little different. And the series I've entitled Operating System, because we're going to talk about some different ways as a church to operate than how we have. Now, this morning, we are not going to take a stroll through the scriptures so much as begin a conversation, but I can't be in church and not read the Bible. And so this passage came to mind that I would like to read with you. Would you stand, please, for the reading of scripture? Passage from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter writing to a church in distress, a church suffering, a church trying to figure out how to survive in a very chaotic and uncertain world. Peter writes, "Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves, do so with the strength God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. Verse came to mind. I've been thinking a lot about maintaining constant love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another. I thought about that a lot last night, actually. We had a meeting, a greeters meeting, our team met last night. It was a lot of fun. And we talked about how we greet and welcome people as they come in. And so it reminded me of that passage again that I've been thinking about for a while now, the mention of hospitality for our church. Meeting last night was a warm time. I enjoyed myself. Thanks, you guys, for hosting. It was a good time to talk. And I had to laugh because I had been thinking some about hospitality. And I forget who said it, if it was Liz or Debbie, but at one point, we were talking about that area in the back when you come in. Now, just so everybody remembers, this is new for us, right? We used to meet in a gym. Now we meet in a church. That area where you walk through the doors, that's called the narthex. So we've been narthecting back there. And we were kind of talking about how what's great about signing, you know, having name tags when everybody comes there is you kind of have to stop and talk to one another for a little bit. And it's a great place to kind of congregate and say hello, maybe meet some new friends, talk to somebody that you haven't talked about. And the name tags kind of slow us down at the door, provide some reason for conversation. And mention that that's really important because without that, what seems to happen is everybody comes through the door, through the narthex, and finds the pew, and usually it's the same pew they sat in last week, and finds the same seat that they sat in last week. And I thought, yes, because I had just had a conversation earlier that day about that phenomenon. We're in a church with pews now, and somebody had remarked, "I don't know if you've noticed, but people are starting to sit in the same places week after week." And this was shocking, right? Because for years in the old place in the gym, at least the story we told, maybe mostly to ourselves, was that we had lots of chairs and it was a free environment. You could grab coffee and turn the chairs and meet and sit next to people. And it was just this really wonderful, creative, social space. At least that's what we tried to talk about it. The reality is we ended up sitting mostly in the same places there too. But I did have to laugh. Because we've been in a church now with pews for only 2 months. And already we have a pew problem. We're already stuck in the same cushions. I mean, who are we even anymore? Sitting in the same pews. Church feels so strange and so different. And obviously in some much deeper ways, I think that's the question we've been asking as a church. Who are we? Because this feels different. It's nice, but it's still different. That's a question that I've heard a number of people ask me lately. Who are we as a church? What are we about? What's our deal? What do we stand for? And that's a good question. Certainly, right, the change of scenery is a big deal, and even more so the change of faces. Folks have moved on, and so it feels different, and we start to wonder, who are we? But the thing that stands out to me now, a few months later, after the move, after Pastor Kevin left, the thing that stands out to me about that question, and I guess it's just hard to anticipate how deeply and pervasive and subtle the feeling is that when Pastor Kevin left, I think a lot of what we experienced was a real loss of identity as a church. That's one of those nameless things that it's hard for people to understand. What things feel different, what is it? And I think that it is a feeling of a loss of identity. That as our founding pastor for so long, there's something symbolic about his participation. A loss of identity. It's an unsettling thing to lose your identity. Remember, this was junior high. I don't remember the specific time. I was dead asleep at night. And I would sleep with all the windows open and stuff. And so I'm sleeping, and I felt something kind of skitter across my face, a mosquito or something. And so in the dead of night, I just kind of, you know, swatted at my own face. And then I felt this kind of pierce. And then in that half-drowsy state, I just fell back asleep, didn't think anything of it. I woke up that morning, and I was sick, and I didn't feel well, and I had the shakes, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong, and so I stumbled out of my bed, and I walked into the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror, and there was the most horribly misshapen face I had ever seen staring back at me. And it had this giant, it looked like somebody had stuffed a golf ball underneath the lip, and it was blocking the person's nose. And there was this grotesque face staring back at me. And it was me, right? You get that in the story. It was me. It turns out the dermatologist said, probably got a black widow bite on my lip. So that's one for the books. But I'll never forget when I was staring into the mirror and I saw the person there and I didn't recognize them, how hard my heart started pounding. It's such a weird experience to not recognize yourself. And it was just, you know, your heart, it slammed. Who is that? Oh my gosh, it's me. But for an instant, it was just sheer terror. It is a scary, terrifying thing to lose your identity, to not recognize yourself. And I think that at some level, maybe not quite Black Widow level, is what we have been feeling somewhat as a church over the last month or two. Who are we? Certainly disciples of Christ, certainly a kind of family, but we have lots of ways to express that question, who are we? What's the future going to look like for us as a church? What are we going to be about? What will be unique about Epic, besides the name? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to take some time as a church to talk about it. And I mean talk. We're going to have some discussion about these things, not just me talking on for several minutes and you listening silently and patiently, wondering when he's going to finish because the game's almost over. Not that that applies to anybody here. Who are we? I think that this is going to be an exciting time for us. Who are we? Who do we hope to be as a church? What kinds of things do we want to be about? What do we want to see happen? When I think about the question, who are we? That's a loaded question, right? Who are we as a church? There are three different components that I have heard you ask me in that question. And so I think about organizations this way. There are three different parts to the question, who we are. First, there are our convictions. What do we believe? What is our theology? Second, there are our connections. How do we operate as a body? How do we navigate our relationships as a church? How do we get stuff done? And then third, there is our mission. What is our action? What is our ministry to the world? How do we minister the presence of Christ? As a church, right, even in the midst through all the changes that we've experienced, our convictions have not changed. There has been no radical rethinking of our theology. We're still the same old wacky American Baptist church with its kind of quirky values and thoughts that we've always had. Our commitment is to community, justice, and healing because that is who we believe Jesus is. When God enters the world, that's what you see. That's what you discover. Community, justice, and healing. Those are the defining features of God become human and how we find our own humanity as we pursue those things. And so that hasn't changed. And I think in many ways, mission has been our strength. If not our strength, our calling card. For a number of years, one of Kevin's gifts, Pastor Kevin's gifts, is that he pressed us into a lot of new kinds of ministries. He had that unique ability where things and ministries would just spring up out of nowhere. And we would create new opportunities. And I love the fact that as a church, we've always been more than a staid traditional church. We've always kind of been a lab. We'll try anything once. I think that's wonderful. But it's this middle category, I think, that this season demands we turn our attention to as a church. This middle category of connections, of operations. Nothing should be clearer to us as a church right now than we need to think and discuss about how we connect and treat one another, how we work together as a church family. And so I think we need to reformat and rethink how we do things, how we live our lives together, how we operate as a church, how we get things done, how we communicate, how we treat one another. It's that middle category of connection that needs our attention. You know, over the years, we've said a lot of powerful things about community, church community here. We've talked about how people are not means to an end. People are the ends. We've said that real community is the witness of Christ's Spirit in the world. The community of God is our apologetic. We've talked about how community exists for people outside it, how there ought to be a place where everybody can receive love and acceptance. We would say that that learning to love well is discipleship to Jesus. And I still think all those things are true. But I think we need to find new ways to live up to those sayings. How we treat one another, how we engage one another. And so, it's challenging, but I think as a church, we need to update our operating system. How we connect, how we communicate, how we come together to discern what the will of God is for us as individuals, as a church. We need to learn from some of the lessons of the past, reboot our operating system, much like your computer, slowly, sometimes frustratingly slow. But we have the opportunity to change and update how we interact, how we engage one another and make decisions as a church. So I think it's an important time to do that. My hope for us as a church is that we increasingly become a place of warm and open hearts that are able to discuss things freely, with sophistication, to receive one another, to talk about difficult things with love, to work through difficult problems, and to find new connection and new answers in the midst of it. So that's the name of the series. Spoiler alert, operating system, computer graphics, all has been laid bare. I don't know that we need to change what we do as much as we need to think about how we do it. How we are connected to one another. What the unity of Christ looks like for us as a church as we try and reach out. How to stimulate more corporate ownership of the things we do. I think we need clear leadership. We need clear communication. We need a greater ability to engage one another about what's really going on. And fun. We still need a lot of fun together. We still need times of joy and peace to just enjoy and savor the relationships that we do have. But as a small church, you understand that we have to operate a little differently because the things that we want to see accomplished requires everybody to get on board. We're not a big enough church where we can just say, you go over here, you do this, you go over here and do this, you go over here and do this. Because what ends up happening is it'd just be a bunch of individual things, right? And so we have to work, I think, towards a kind of unity, a kind of shared vision and understanding. And that means we have to work to listen to one another, to value one another's opinions and reflections, and to think about how we can honor what we all think and feel as a church. And so beginning today, we're going to try and do that and learn new ways and work on how we communicate and connect and listen and care, and more than anything, discern what it is God's doing in us as a church. These are foundational issues, I think, that we've struggled with. Every church struggles with them. But we have to learn, I think, how to do things together. That's really the word of the day, together. This is the thing I think God is calling us to give our attention to connect, to discuss, to be a community that comes together to decide, to discern what God is doing. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to do that. Here's the fun part. This is what I hope that it looks like. I hope that it begins a new era of discussion for us. We talk about things. What I'm going to ask of you as the congregation is this. Over the next 6 weeks, would you take 15 minutes, 5 days a week, read your Bible, pray. I don't even care how you distribute it in there. Everybody's different. But 15 minutes a day for 5 days out of the week, over the next 6 weeks, make some space for your soul to connect to God and pray for our church and ask God, what is he thinking? What are the needs that he wants to meet? What are the things to address? Is there something the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart to share with the rest of the church? 6 weeks from now, we're going to have a Sunday service, and we're going to have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, and we're going to do some prayer and some worship, and we're going to share those things and see if we can come together and listen and hear as a church together what God is speaking to us. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's going to be a lot of time to discuss what God's laid on each of our hearts individually. In the 6 weeks in between, we're going to talk about some of our core commitments as a church, but real discussion. I'll share some things, and then we will open up the time to discuss some of those things moving forward. It's going to be fun. It's going to be engaging and interacting. And I think that's the kind of thing that we need to learn to do even more so as a church, to engage in love, talk about things, no matter what they are. So we're going to do that for the next few minutes, too. Ready? It's epic. We like to make people talk in church. And so I've got a discussion question for you to kick us off as we reboot our operating system this week. I am going to ask, if you've been here a while at Epic, find somebody who's not in one of your house churches to discuss with. Get up out of the pews, introduce yourself, say hello. But don't sit in the same place you sat last week. Talk to some new people. Here's the discussion question. You ready? We're going to begin our conversation with this question. What have you learned about church? That's open-ended. What have you learned about church and how it works? You could talk about the lessons that stick out in your mind over the last year or so, the things you've been thinking about. And maybe most importantly, how do those things affect you now as you come to church? You haven't been to church, that's okay. You can just substitute the word work or community where that word church is. I think it's still a valuable discussion. Make sense? Go and say hello and find somebody, and we're going to take a few minutes to talk about this, and then I will pray and we will worship to close. Well, I hope that that's just the beginning of stimulating conversation for you. There is a lot to talk about. I hope over the next couple weeks, as we shake things up in here, that you will find it revives your heart, and that God really gives us as gifts to one another again. We learn how to steward the gift of community that he has given us, and that it's meaningful. Each week we come and we partake of communion, and we remember the bread, body broken for us, Christ's body broken for us. And we partake of the juice, his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. But we all share in the same one body of Christ. We all share in the same love that's greater than any of us could imagine. And so I want to invite you as we worship to come and share again communion together. Amen? Will you pray with me? God, we trust that you have good things, important things, meaningful things in store for us. We ask that you will teach us to be good stewards of your family. That you will teach us to talk and to love, to work together, and that we would see really precious and important parts of your kingdom materialize on earth in our midst. And so this is our prayer, and this is our hope. Will your Spirit make it so as we take communion, as we talk to one another, as we worship and set our eyes on you? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Until next week.
For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.